KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies and 49 degrees in Atlantic. Looking for increasing cloudiness today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon and early this evening. We'll have a high of 74. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. In the news, Red Oak police report that two Red Oak residents and one person from Griswold were arrested early this morning. 18-year-old Dalton Paul Valentin of Red Oak and 21-year-old Alexandra Marie Sint of Griswold were charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Also, 22-year-old Courtney Nicole Orr of Red Oak was charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana. The trio were being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond each. Elsewhere in state news, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says it has received scattered reports of dead deer around water sources this summer. DNR Wildlife Research Supervisor Willie Suki says they believe the dead deer are due to a disease called EHD.
Epizootic hemorrhagic disease, and it's a virus that's transmitted by a biting midge. And in dry years, water or deer get concentrated around somewhat limited water. And if they happen to be going to a water source that the midges are around and they get infected, you can have a more significant die-off in that local area, and that's usually what we're seeing.
He says they're asking the public to report any deer that are dead or don't appear to be acting normally.
If they see those kind of situations, talk to your local officer or biologist, somebody with the DNR locally, so they can kind of record what was observed and maybe go look at them. The other thing is we're always on the lookout for animals that are sick or diseased, and right now if it's CHD, there's not much you can do. The disease will take its course, but there's other diseases that we can monitor for.
Suki says the deaths due to EHD don't pose a major threat to the deer population.
No, at this point, it's above what we normally would see, and this is kind of what we've been expecting for this year with the dry weather. But last year we had this kind of a bigger outbreak than what we've got so far. It was in 1998, and deer numbers were down a little bit for a year. But as everybody knows, in a couple of years, there's still plenty of deer.
The disease has also shown up in Nebraska, Kansas, Illinois, Missouri, and Michigan. EHD remains active until the rain disperses the deer or a heavy frost kills the midges. Hunting licenses for deer went on sale for the first time Wednesday, and a DNR spokesman says the number of deer tags available is dropping in some areas. Deer research biologist Tom Litchfield says efforts to reduce the deer herd by increasing the number of female or antlerless deer taken have been successful.
Back in 2003, the availability of antlerless-only licenses was greatly increased in Iowa, and now in 2012, approximately two-thirds of the counties in Iowa are at the target levels, which was to return deer populations back to the mid to late 1990 levels.
Litchfield says the drop in deer numbers will be reflected in the number of available licenses.
There's going to be approximately 13,000 fewer antlerless-only licenses available, and these reductions all occurred in eastern counties, 20 eastern counties in Iowa, so there will be fewer antlerless licenses available in those counties.
He says the cutback is a direct result of the success of the plan to harvest more does to help bring down the overall deer population.
It's due to our deer herd declining in numbers and being at goal throughout most of the state.
There will also be a change in the combination of licenses which are available.
Starting this year, we're starting to go back to the way regulations were prior to 2006, and so for 2012, a hunter that purchases an early muzzleloader season license will not be able to purchase a antlerless-only license in either of the two shotgun seasons.
Not all counties are down to their goals for deer numbers, so Litchfield says the hunting numbers will vary based on regions.
Hunters in the northwestern and north-central portions of the state will see deer numbers similar to what they saw last year, possibly a few more deer since we had such a nice, mild winter last winter. Throughout the remainder of the state, eastern Iowa, southern Iowa, central Iowa, by and large, what hunters will see are fewer deer than last year because the herd is still declining.
The DNR is also eliminating the Thanksgiving weekend antlerless season and cutting the late January season by 1 week. You can find out more about the deer hunting seasons and where to buy a license on the DNR's website at www.iowadnr.gov. An expert on droughts says the one that settled over Iowa and most of the region isn't likely to go away anytime soon. Michael Hayes, director of the National Drought Mitigation Center, says a big ridge of high pressure has built up over the central U.S., diverting rain elsewhere. Hayes says Iowa's long-range forecast calls for hot, dry conditions well into October.
Maybe there's some hope beyond that, but it's a little bit early to say. So that's not the best news, certainly. Those are expectations. Those outlooks can change, and we certainly hope that's the case.
Despite withering crops, brown lawns, and shallow waterways across Iowa, Hayes says the drought's effects are not deep yet because this is a severe one-year event, at least so far.
If this were to extend into a second year or third year, then we'd certainly have more of those concerns.
While some have made comparisons to the Dust Bowl days of the 1930s, Hayes says this drought is most comparable to the 1988 drought. One unusual note, he says, the drought which now grips the entire Corn Belt actually began this past winter.
I think what's been interesting about this drought is we had such warm temperatures over the winter time and in the early spring that a lot of our soil moisture was already depleted, and then that just allowed the temperatures to get pretty extreme across a large part of the central U.S.
The National Drought Mitigation Center, by the way, is based at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. In other state news, police in Iowa City have arrested a person involved in a shooting that occurred during an undercover drug operation at a trailer park there. Iowa City Police Sergeant Denise Brotherton said officers responded Friday afternoon to an apartment complex where someone believed to be involved in the Thursday night shooting might live. After a standoff of nearly 4 hours, police shot tear gas into the building. Officers then escorted 20-year-old John Mulba outside in handcuffs a few minutes later. Police were looking for Mulba and 20-year-old Norman Dudley, both of whom fled after the shooting and during which two state agents fired shots during an undercover drug operation. The incident left 24-year-old Ivan Carl Hardiman dead and 21-year-old DeMarco Dudley injured. Authorities are still looking for Norman Dudley. Anyone with information about the shooting or the whereabouts of Dudley is asked to contact Crime Stoppers at 800-358-TIPS. That's 800-358-8477. Iowa City Area Crime Stoppers is offering a reward of up to $1,000 for information that would assist investigators in locating Dudley. All calls are held in strict confidence and anonymity is guaranteed. Individuals providing information do not have to reveal their identity to collect a reward. Police are searching for a man who robbed a bank and forced a teller to the ground in Postville, which is in northeast Iowa. The Alamakee County Sheriff's Office said the man robbed the Freedom Bank Friday morning. The Sheriff's Office says he forced a teller to the ground and took an undetermined amount of money. The man fled out the back door of the bank and into an alley. There were no injuries reported. A Warren County judge has ordered a central Iowa farmer convicted of killing his neighbor to pay $4 million in a legal battle. KCCI-TV in Des Moines says the judge on Friday ordered Rodney Heemstra of Milo to pay Rhonda Lyon in a settlement decision. Heemstra shot his neighbor Tom Lyon in 2003 at a dispute over farmland and cattle watering equipment. Lawsuits resulted in in-court judgments against Heemstra, totaling about $7 million, including interest, but he continued to fight paying it. He made a legal settlement offer in April. Heemstra was originally convicted of first-degree murder. The Iowa Supreme Court ordered a new trial, and Heemstra was convicted of voluntary manslaughter instead. The trial of an Iowa City woman charged in the death of her young son has been reset. Maria Balderas and her boyfriend, Jorge Perez, were arrested in June in the death of 20-month-old Marcus Balderas. The toddler died in April from blunt force trauma to the head. Balderas is charged with one count of child endangerment resulting in death, while Perez faces two counts. They were scheduled to be tried together on September the 4th in Johnson County District Court. Balderas has waived her right to a speedy trial, and the new trial is now set for December 11th. Perez has not waived his right to a speedy trial, and his case is still scheduled to begin next month. A Fort Dodge police officer has helped an apartment resident escape from a fire that was burning in a nearby upstairs unit. The occupant of the second-floor apartment came home Thursday afternoon to find his apartment in flames. The police officer, Leighton Walker, was among those who responded to a 911 call. A woman who lives near the apartment building, Jennifer Hansen, said she saw Walker repeatedly knock on the door of the ground-floor apartment. Walker finally kicked open the apartment door, and the resident soon left for safety outside. There were no injuries reported. Fire Department Captain Paul Neeson said the fire started when an overheated refrigerator condenser ignited something behind the refrigerator. And finally, in state news, Iowa's unemployment rate edged up to 5.3% in July. State labor officials say the preliminary rate was 0.2 points higher than June's revised rate of 5.1%. The rate was 6% in July of 2011. Iowa Workforce Development said in a report issued Friday that the state gained 2,300 jobs in total non-farm employment last month after 2 months of decreases. The state says the gains occurred only in the sectors of wholesale and retail trade, other services, local government, and health care. The number of unemployed people in Iowa was estimated at 88,200 in July, compared with 85,300 in June. A year ago, an estimated 99,100 people were unemployed in the Hawkeye State. The national jobless rate rose 0.1 points in July to 8.3%. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, hundreds of people in Washington State and California are returning to their neighborhoods after fleeing out-of-control wildfires. Some don't have homes left to move back into. Meanwhile, some residents of rural central Idaho were told to evacuate by late yesterday as blazes continued to burn throughout the West. Funerals are set today for a Texas constable and a bystander who were killed by a gunman earlier this week near Texas A&M University. Meanwhile, police say the gunman, Thomas Alton Kafal III, fired more than 65 rounds during the incident. He was also killed. Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan is getting some campaign help today as he tells seniors they have nothing to worry about when it comes to Medicare and Social Security with a GOP win in November. He's bringing his 78-year-old mother, Betty, along to try and blunt criticism from President Barack Obama that the Ryan-Romney ticket would gut programs for older Americans. In the weekly political media messages, President Obama is urging Congress to approve his proposals to reduce teacher layoffs, pointing to a White House report on the effects of tight school budgets. Republican Missouri Representative Vicky Hartzler criticized Democrats and the president and for Congress's failure to restore disaster programs for drought-stricken farmers. An official say four people died when a bomb in a market went off in western Afghanistan. An official also says a dozen people were wounded, including three policemen. In volatile southwestern Pakistan, five security troops working a road checkpoint have been killed by a suicide car bomber. Various militants operate in the region. And in our funeral announcements this morning, Marie Elise Michoud Laufer, age 91 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Private graveside services for Marie Michoud Laufer will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Atlantic Catholic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Hazel Henningsen, age 92 of Walnut, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Hazel Henningsen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Reacon Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Margaret K. Norman, age 91 of Harlan and formerly of Portsmouth, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Margaret Norman will be today at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Rilla Jean Shires, age 83 of Arizona and formerly of the Griswold and Elliott areas, died August the 8th. Graveside services for Rilla Shires will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Hillside Cemetery in Elliott. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Morgan Morath, age 44 of Clive and formerly of Bayard, died Wednesday at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Morgan Morath will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Geraldine Marie Peterson, age 84 of Oakland, died Wednesday at the Oakland Manor. A memorial service for Geraldine Peterson will be on Monday at 3:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Ernestine Hiley, age 84 of Avoca, died Friday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Ernestine Hiley will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Darlene M. Hansen, age 84, who's formerly of Elkhorn, died Monday at Mercy Hospice in Des Moines. A memorial service for Darlene Hansen will be held on September 15th at 2 o'clock at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Des Moines. And Dolores P. Cusher, age 83 of Griswold, died this morning at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Dolores Cusher are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.